Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Fairhope, Alabama. Welcome to the show, Grant Reeves.
Thank you, Victor, for having me.
Well, great to have you here. You're investing in an area that is near and dear to our heart. We're also developing in this particular realm. But before we dive into the details, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Certainly. So as you mentioned, we are located in Fairhope, Alabama, which is down on the Gulf Coast, about 30 minutes from the Florida-Alabama line, just to give people some perspective there. I started off in commercial real estate brokerage right out of college in 2013. I went to Auburn University and after that got into the brokerage world. I specialized in limited service hotels throughout the Southeast with a regional firm and then ended up at Marcus & Millichap, the national brokerage house, doing more limited service hotels. So was selling things like Holiday Inn Expresses, Hampton Inns, Comfort Suites, those type products. And that's really where I learned how to underwrite, how I source debt and equity, kind of deal structure. And through that experience, I met my now business partner, Jeremy Friedman, who is also a broker. He specialized in triple net retail sales throughout the country. And we had always become stayed friends throughout our careers as brokers. And in 2020, when COVID hit, I had looked to get into more of the syndication space and start raising some money and doing some of my own deals here locally. And Jeremy kind of had the same thought. So we kind of started to put our heads together and figure out structure and what we wanted a firm to look like. And that's how Stoic Equity Partners, our firm, was born. So we started the LLC, I guess, in Q3 of 2020, started doing our first deals in 2021, started off in self-storage, primarily just because we wanted to start out more locally, just because we know this area really well. And through COVID, we saw a population really boom. And so really the best place to be down here was in housing, whether that was lot development, single family homes, or multifamily. But our partner at the time was in that space. So we wanted to do something kind of ancillary to that. And self-storage was the closest asset class that kind of tied in with the housing growth. We did four deals in self-storage and really saw that market kind of start to get really difficult, frankly, to make numbers work on it, just with how much interest and how much money was coming into that sector. And so in 2022, we transitioned over into flex industrial and started underwriting value add flex throughout the Southeast and bought our first deal, I guess, in Q3 of 22, have gone on to buy approximately 600,000 square feet of flex over the past, whatever that is, 18 months, 2 years. And that's where we are. So we invest in 50 to 150,000 square foot complexes made up of approximately 2,500 to 5,000 square foot suites. Is our thing. And so, love the space. We invest throughout the Southeast, primarily in kind of the smaller metros, not really the larger high growth areas, but mainly more the more stabilized markets throughout the Southeast.
Well, flex multi-tenant industrial is an asset class that we love as well. And in some markets, I would say it is vastly underserviced. It's a relatively new product type in that sense. And in many communities, there's simply not very much of that particular product type. Why the choice of going value add versus, say, building new?
Yeah. And to your point, yes, there's really, especially in the markets we play in, and just as an example to the listeners, we chase markets like Birmingham, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi Metro, Memphis, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas, Tallahassee, Florida, just to kind of give you some perspective of the markets we play in. But we decided to go the value add route, frankly, because you cannot build that product in those markets and be able to make the numbers work. Typical price per square foot these days to build a new product is $150, $140 a square foot, which would mean that your rents would have to be in the 14 to 16 range, markets 9 to 11 for the most part. And so we see a lot of tailwinds there with being able to buy existing product, add value, increase rates, and be able to have we see a lot of a long-term rent growth just based on the fact that as demand continues to grow, as these markets grow and supply stays constrained, it has to lead to rates increasing, which is where we want to be.
So when we talk about value add in a multi-tenant industrial context, what does that really mean? Because unlike a single family home, yeah, you can spruce up the curb appeal and things like that and make sure that the wife really likes it. But what does it mean in terms of multi-tenant industrial? Where are you adding value?
Mm-hmm. And we do some of that. I mean, this is where people go to work every day and it should look nice. So we do some exterior renovations, but there's a couple different strategies that we have on the value add side. One of them is taking out office space. And some of these flex deals that were built most of the vintage of what we buy is built in the 80s and 90s. And throughout the past few decades, as office space was in higher demand, people would build out these suites as 80 or 90% office. And so we've bought a few complexes now that were in the, say, 70s or low 80s occupancy range, and all the vacancies had high office build out. And so what we've done is gone in and bought those, ripped out a lot of the office, turned them back into more 40, 60 or 50, 50 office warehouse suites, and been able to drive up occupancy by doing that. Another strategy on the value add side is your typical roofs, redoing parking lots, kind of the more simple stuff, but also just marking our tenants to market. We just bought a deal in McDonough, Georgia. It's about 90,000 square feet. Purchased it from the original developer who built the complex in the late 90s. And due to his basis being so low and having long-term tenants, his average rent roll was about, I guess it's about $4.75 modified gross. Market there is 12 triple net. And so we paid $64 a square foot for that complex. I mean, it's a very nice brick facade, metal buildings, good dock highs in the rear, nice looking product. And so on that one, we'll do some renovations on the interiors, you know, new paint, new carpet, kind of sprucing up the office spaces a little bit. But that's primarily just rolling the rent roll over and getting it to market.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, who is your ideal client? I mean, when we think of multi-tenant industrial, we're thinking of everything from, you know, plumbers, electricians, landscape companies, maybe suppliers of construction equipment, distributors, folks like that, where, like you said, there is a need for some office, but mostly for storage of materials.
Yes, and we see the same. And so we have a lot of those type service companies that we work with, HVAC companies, home builders, that kind of thing. But we also see some e-commerce. So we have a few tenants that, like, for instance, in Mississippi, we have a tenant that does, it's a women's boutique, but an online women's boutique that primarily sells clothes through Instagram. You walk in their space, they have a conditioned warehouse, and they're taking pictures of clothes, posting it online, and shipping out the back. And so e-commerce is one that we see a lot of, or some of. We do see some logistics. We have FedEx and UPS as tenants. We also see some kind of life science space, I would say. We have CVS has a pharmacy output at one of our locations. We also have another pharmacy that does compounding at a location. We have Tyson Chicken that does food safety lab work. And so their warehouse is built out as lab space. So yeah, it's really diverse. And then I feel like a lot of flex deals, you also see gyms in those and sometimes churches. So it's flexible. That's why they call it flex, right? So
absolutely. In this particular segment, for example, in office and other forms of retail, you're often aiming to sign a fairly long-term lease, 5 years as a minimum, 10 to 15 years, even better. What is your typical lease duration that you're signing with these improvements?
We're typically 3 to 5 years. We have done 2-year deals as well for higher rates. We are now with inflation running the way that it has been, it's pretty typical to be able to get annual bumps as well. So kind of our typical structure will be a 3 to 5 year lease, triple net, with 3 to 4% annual rent bump on that.
When you are acquiring a property, if it has long-term leases in place and those long-term leases may be under market, is that a reason not to buy it where it's going to take a long time? You're going to have to sit on your hands for a long time before you can get the rents where you need them to be.
Yeah, that is a very large issue. We see a lot of deals that we would love to buy. And unfortunately, the sellers thought they were kind of doing a good thing by going and getting a bunch of extensions, but they didn't realize they were signing leases vastly below market. And so if you have a weighted average lease term of 5+ years, well, our hold period is 5 years. So if you have a WALT of 4 or 5 years, we're going to have to hold this thing, not cash flowing, until we can roll these leases, that's going to have to be a pass for us because we don't have time to be able to get the value up on it. So yeah, that we definitely look for low WALT. We want, you know, a year or two WALT is perfect on that deal because we can buy something that's say $6 to $8 rents that we could raise to $10-$12 rent. And so we want to have some WALT on there just so you have some cash flow as you turn those leases, but definitely don't need it to be too long. And also on that, another important thing that we look at is kind of how the leases are phased out. In a perfect world, you kind of want to have a rent roll that rolls over time rather than all leases ending, say, December 31st, 2025, just because that's going to be very difficult to lease back up that quick. But if you can have something that maybe the whole rent roll rolls over a year, that's really ideal for what we see.
One of the things we've been seeing in other segments, for example, in office, we've seen a lot of businesses consolidating not going out of business, but consolidating their footprint into a smaller space. Let's say, for example, law firms, they might go from three floors in an office building down to two, or in retail, where now they're going to carry a higher proportion in a lower cost warehouse of their, you know, a higher proportion of their inventory in a lower cost warehouse. So they're reducing their footprint, their retail footprint. Are you seeing the same thing happening in the multi-tenant industrial?
We are not. I mean, most of the markets that we're investing in are growing suburbs of larger MSAs. So kind of the whole MSAs are pretty, I'd say, stabilized, but we like to invest in kind of the suburbs that are growing on the outskirts. So we're mainly seeing people expand. And also to your point on a lot of the office tenants shrinking down, primarily because they're going into more of a hybrid work structure or sending people to work from home. That's one of the reasons we like multi-tenant flex, is the fact that if you need to have, say, 70% of your workspace be warehouse, you have to have a physical location. You cannot go work over Zoom to be able to manufacture or run logistics or whatever you do, store things. So you have to have a physical location. So we feel like it's really insulated from that work from home trend, which helps.
That absolutely does help. When we think about multi-tenant industrial and you've got a client that's growing in terms of their business is growing, they've leased, let's say, 3,000 square feet, but the neighboring units are occupied. What is their growth path? What is the, if they want to expand, do they have to leave? What options do you offer them?
Yeah, in a perfect world, I mean, on a smaller facility that's, say, a 48,000 square foot facility made up of a bunch of 3,000 square foot units, that is a little bit difficult to move them. So if someone needs to go from 3,000 to 6,000, unless you have a 2-unit vacancy at that time, it is difficult to move that tenant. We do like to invest in some of the smaller, say 130, 150,000 square foot type complexes, which allows a little bit more flexibility there. For example, we own a complex in Mississippi that we bought recently, and we have a tenant looking to do that. They're currently in about 3,500 square feet. They really need about 7,500, and we have a vacancy. So we're looking just to move them over and modify their lease. So being able to have that optionality in a larger complex is very important, and having different size spaces. I mean, obviously in flex, you can kind of build it out to meet a lot of different suite sizes. But if you're buying something that has a lot of 3,000s, a lot of 6s, and a lot of 9s already built out that way, it is nice to have that optionality to be able to move tenants around as needed.
One of the things we've seen with existing product is that oftentimes you go to make an improvement in an existing building and the plans examiner says, oh, before you touch anything on this building, you need to bring it up to current code. You have to maybe increase your sprinklers or change your electrical or something in order to bring it up to current standard. Have you encountered a lot of that as part of your value add projects?
We have not. Most of our value add is cosmetic in nature. I mean, we might move a wall or two, but for the most part, it's or replace a roof. It's not very heavy lifting as far as rebuilding structure or anything like that. We're also in smaller markets in the Southeast, which are known to be a little bit more flexible on those kind of things. So we haven't run into a ton of those issues. Most of what we buy are 80s, 90s vintage. And so for the most part, pretty current. So we haven't had a whole lot of code issues at this point. Knock on wood, hopefully we don't start seeing those here soon.
I love it. Well, Grant, love what you're doing. And if folks want to learn more, if they want to connect, what's the best way?
So I am on Twitter at Reeves_Grant. So REAVES_GRANT. My email is GReeves. And then our website is also stoicep.com that has my contact information there. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't know the tag to that, but I am on LinkedIn. If you look me up, love to connect with you there as well. Love to talk about anybody who wants to talk flex industrial. That's pretty much all I talk about. So happy to connect with anyone on that subject.
Terrific. Well, Grant, love what you're doing. And for listeners at home, definitely connect with Grant Reeves at Stoic Equity Partners. The link will be in the show notes, stoicep.com. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.